This is Nina.
And this is Coda Quest.
And this is take two of you listening to Nerd Out Space. I am stupid, but you shouldn't doubt all the things I'm gonna do, because I am going to do them regardless.
No matter how many times it takes.
Yeah, I'm never gonna stop. I'm too determined to just like keep being stupid and not try again. Anyway, so as most of you, hopefully, might know, I already did an episode where I talked about Connor Quest and all the amazing things he does, mostly because his music slaps, his wordplay, his flows, everything is always absolutely delicious, amazing, I love it. But since now that I have a chance, I thought maybe I should ask Connor about what his ideal introduction to himself would be now that he is getting the chance to do so.
Ooh, put me on the spot here. Well, Schwabity kind of took the best sort of version of an introduction with his F and intro song, which I think we'd all love to have a version of that for ourselves. But I would probably say, as has been bestowed upon to me by many people, I guess like Damble's son would be a good a good descriptor of like what you'll probably get with
wow.
me, even though Rustage is technically Damble's son, so I'm more like his brother, I guess, like younger brother.
Okay, that's fair. So do you cause all the trouble and always get away with it?
Absolutely. Yeah. I'm very known for getting away with troublesome things.
I can see that happening. Somehow I can see that happening. And okay, since you already mentioned Schwabity, we know that he made a song called What Does Schwabity Mean? So since I am now having the option of asking you, I am going to take all of your wrath upon me and ask you, what does Connor Quest mean? What is the origin behind your artist name?
So Connor Quest was a culmination of me realizing that my previous name was terrible, and also wanting to still include a bit of myself in my name, which I guess comes from not only obviously my real name is Connor, but then Quest also kind of does come from my general love of MMO games, and they're sort of games that I played probably the most as a child, and running through my teens as well.
Yeah.
So it just kind of made sense. I went through a lot of different conversations with a lot of different people. It was a much bigger decision than I thought it was going to be, but I think it was the right one. And actually, because I didn't want to have like a full alias, which I used to have. Because I have a song based on that, because I didn't like it at the time.
Yeah.
So I definitely wanted to like keep myself within the name, which I think I did pretty well, and it's worked out so far. So.
Okay, that's awesome. Can we also know the name of the song?
It's very bad. It's called Mask.
I mean,
it was on my first album that I did with my friend, called, well, he goes by many different names, but I think he's going under 88 Diagrams at the moment. But at the time he was going under Meditating Jester, and we did an album together, when I was like 18. So it's
fair
very
enough.
Bad.
Fair enough. But I'm pretty sure it's not as bad as you maybe think it is. Ooh. Or is
Ooh.
It?
Ooh.
Okay. I'm going to believe you. I promise. Okay, and maybe just to give a little insight into maybe the people that don't know you yet or aren't as familiar, are you a full-time musician, or is this just like a side thing for you?
No, yes, I am a full-time musician. Very, very gratefully. I don't really know how that happened, but I basically came straight out of uni. And was I basically told myself, like, because things were starting to pick up when I left uni, I was like, okay, you know what, I'm gonna give it a year. I'm gonna put everything into this, give it a year, and if it works out, it works out, and if it doesn't, then I get a part-time job.
Yeah.
And that was 2020, and 2020 just happened to be the year that I couldn't do anything else.
Yeah.
So it ended up being I was just kind of putting everything into my channel, practicing a lot. Then obviously start of 2021, I dipped out for a bit, but I'd kind of made like a good setting for myself in 2020, luckily, so it kind of allowed me to keep carrying on this as my full-time job, really.
Yeah. Okay, wait, but are you like freshly out of uni right now?
I left uni in 2019.
Oh, really? What did you study?
Yeah, I studied music.
Oh, really? Oh, that's awesome. I mean, it shows. It kind of shows, so.
I mean, I went into it without any prior musical knowledge, so I don't really know how I, like, slid my way in there, but somehow it worked out, and I kind of got all my musical knowledge from university, which is not where you should be getting your first dose of musical knowledge. Like, most people I know had gone to college for previous music lessons, or high school they'd done it, or, you know, anything, but I was just like, yeah, I can do music at university level.
That's beautiful. This is amazing. No, but I mean, at least, I don't know, you definitely evolved a lot, at least from the time I began, like, noticing stuff in the nerdcore community. But I feel like you really made your way up, and only upwards, to be honest.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Okay, and to maybe stay at this level of, like, introducing you as a musician to the people, whether they know you or not, could you maybe tell us a little more about what does an ideal day of Connor Quest's music production look like?
Oh boy, an ideal day is the instrumental is done for me. Because I really don't like instrumental production. Or it's not that I don't like it, because when I get into it, it's really fun, but I just don't think I'm very good at it.
Yeah.
So it's a lot more stressful for me. Mm-hmm. Then we're talking about ideal day. So I do everything in one take with no flaws whatsoever. I've written everything perfectly, and I don't have to mess with the lyrics whatsoever.
Yeah.
And I'm done within 2 hours. Like, that's an ideal day.
That sounds,
not that
that sounds
has
really
ever
good.
Happened. That's never happened before, but I pray that it one day will.
I believe in you. I believe in you and in the power of friendship. You can do this, really.
No, I do a lot of takes of things. I switch up my lyrics on the fly sometimes. Like, if I feel like it's not quite fitting, I'll replace words. And I feel like that's something that some people don't do, is that if something feels off, they'll just kind of try and fit it in.
Yeah.
But with me, I really do kind of want to take that time to craft it right and make sure it sounds how I think it should sound, and not how I think it should be written.
Yeah, it's actually really helpful to hear you say this. I think for most musicians, most musicians, because, like, even I am low-key trying to dab into making music, and I am, in fact, most of the time just trying to fit stuff in because I am I am lazy. So
yeah.
It's really nice to see that there is a way, even though it just takes a little more time. Okay, and, like, even though maybe the process of producing and publishing can be, let's say, a little difficult, if that can be the right word, do you have, like, a favorite part of the entire thing? Like, maybe putting the song out for the people to hear, or writing, or something specific like that?
I think it's got to be the writing for me, honestly. Like, it is just what I'm... It's what I'm known for, it's what I'm good at, and it's what I love the most. Like, it's just, like, I am a writing guy, I'm a writing head, I've always been that way. It's always been my strongest point.
Yeah.
I don't think there's been a time that I've been doing this where my writing was weak. And I've always kind of said that, like, writing was kind of the only thing that was keeping me afloat for the longest time.
Yeah.
It was like, oh, wow, this is garbage, but it's well written. Like, that was the only thing, because I think that just comes from what I've focused on and what I've practiced on.
Yeah.
I think there is kind of an innate thing in me that I was able to do that a little bit, like, better. I don't know, I see shit differently. Like, can I swear on this? Oh, God.
Yeah, no. Totally. Oh, go ahead.
I see fucking shit differently. Like, yeah, oh, it's great.
Totally.
Like, I don't know. It's a weird one.
It's like a superpower.
I feel like I have it, kind of. Like, it does feel that way sometimes, because sometimes I don't even know how I actually have thought of certain things. Like, it does just kind of come to me sometimes. I don't know. Maybe it's just from what I've listened to in the past or what I've practiced and how much I actually enjoy that aspect or what, but yeah, I think that's my favorite part, definitely.
Yeah, that's fair. And to be honest, I think it's really visible from your songs, or maybe like hearable. I'm not really native, so I can't really tell how to say that properly, but people can really hear, and I can hear that you're very, very comfortable with the stuff you write, and it's really nice to see that. And since you mentioned it, you write really well, but you also have a really nice way of performing it. Like, your cadence is usually absolutely on point, gotta say, on point.
Thank you.
No problem. And I wanted to say, like, how did you come to your specific style? Is it something that you just one day woke up to and was like, I want to do this? Or did you know and just like had to perfect it throughout the years?
It's definitely been like a growing experience of like knowing, kind of finding what worked, kind of finding what sounded good. Like, I think I've only just recently started making music that I like to listen to myself.
Yeah.
And that really comes from the delivery of things being a lot better recently, and kind of knowing where I need to push my voice. And I think I discovered that probably late last year, honestly. Mm-hmm. There was like a point where I was like, okay, yeah, here is how I want to like push my voice, and like that's the level I want to be at. And then it kind of took some fine tuning, and now I feel like every time I hop into a song, I'll hear it and I'll be like, okay, yeah, this is where I want to push my voice, this is the delivery I'm taking. And that was just one of the things. Like, my writing was good, my delivery used to be awful, so it was just one of those things that I needed to improve on and actually refine. And I feel like it's pretty there now. There's definitely things I can do better with it. There's things I haven't done yet with it, and things I want to get like better at, especially in more of the melodic side. But yeah, I think I'm at a pretty comfortable place with it at the moment.
And what exactly do you feel like when it comes to like the melodic stuff you feel like isn't quite there?
I mean, I don't think I'm a very good singer, so
really,
I do want to practice a lot more, and I also want to get like a better rasp. I want to get a better range. Mm-hmm. I want to get like I just want to practice with it more and kind of train my voice to be able to do certain things. Like, screaming is one thing I really, really want to do, but I don't know if I'm capable. But you know, I could probably learn mildly. But yeah,
I mean, screaming has always seemed very, very intimidating to me. It's very impressive when I see people like Fable, even Schwabity, or just like Cam Steady do it. I'm just like, okay, I would probably die.
I'm like, I think I'm like probably just under mark within range of being able to do some kind of like scream thing.
Yeah.
But I'm just not quite there, so it's just gonna take some training for me. Mm-hmm. I think
that's fair. That's pretty fair, especially with something that like is so difficult to master. I feel like it's okay to for it to like have a journey. But to be fair, I didn't expect to hear today from you that you don't think that you are a good singer. I'm just like
I don't
super taking aback right now because like what
I think. Well, and this is the thing that like along with delivery, along with instrumental production, the singing has been something that has really come along from being not very good and having to kind of train that and realize what sounds good, what doesn't. Like, yeah. If you listen to some of my like choruses from 2019 even that had me singing, I mean, there was a time where I just didn't sing on choruses because I was like, I don't sound good. Like, I think it was probably the Gara rap was the first time was like, okay, yeah, like this sounds all right, or the Tower of God rap or something. But then that has a lot of modulation on it anyway. Mm-hmm. So, and like the Deku rap is like the chorus where, like, if I'd sang that well, that would have been an amazing chorus.
And did
but
you,
I just didn't really.
Did you ever like think about remaking some of your older songs, like when we talk about this specific thing?
I have like kind of a thing about that. Is I don't like going back on old projects because I'd rather just make something completely new that's probably gonna be better anyway. Because when even though they like I say, oh yeah, the flaw in that song was the you know, the delivery on the chorus,
yeah,
it's like, well, maybe there was something actually about that chorus that made it difficult to deliver. Like, I don't know specifically what the problem is with that song. There's a lot of different problems, so I would rather just go into something completely new. And I'm kind of doing that because I don't think my Fire Force song is very good. So I've made a completely new Fire Force song without... And it's a lot better than my old one. So I just have a thing about, like, going back on old things and, like, recycling almost. I don't like it. I've always been someone who wants to just make something completely... Like, if you... Let's say you made a really shit cake.
Yeah.
You wouldn't break down the cake again into its different ingredients and try again. You'd make a completely new cake.
Sure, sure. That analogy works. That's a very interesting thing, and I'm actually really, really happy to have heard it, because I feel like a lot of people, when they aren't satisfied with what they create, they want to go back. Like, they keep nitpicking at it until it's perfect. So it's really nice for you to like be able to basically start anew without being very like stuck with the stuff. Yeah. So maybe when we come from like the entire production process into the part of like publishing and letting the world like see the thing you created, do you usually like still get the entire like butterflies in your stomach feel, or is it at this time something that you're accustomed to?
I think it depends on what I release, because if it's something a bit more experimental that I don't know if people are gonna like, then I do kind of get that feeling, which is normally when it's something with like a chorus in it that's like a bit more rocky. Like, I think Heart of Stone was something I was worried people weren't gonna like that much. Same within Half, my Jujutsu Kaisen one. I was a little bit iffy even about Kora Sensei, the end of it. I knew people were gonna like the start of it, because I'm kind of at a point now where I'm like, okay, when I rap, I'm pretty good at rapping, so people are probably gonna like it when I rap. But anything else, I'm like, oh, are people gonna like this? I hope they do.
Yeah, that's fair. So, although like In Half is probably one of my favorite choruses I have ever heard from you.
Oh, thank you. I do like it a lot. Like, and that's the thing. After the initial release and after I see like the positivity, I'm like, okay, yeah, I can calm down now. And and then I can just enjoy what I've done, because I do really like them.
Do you ever like listen to your own music just like for the fun of it, or?
Oh yeah. Nice. I listen to my own music all the time now, and I didn't used to because I didn't used to make good music. But
okay.
Now I'm making music, and this is the thing. Now I know I'm making decent music because I want to listen to it and I enjoy listening to it. And I'm making music. I feel like I'm now making music for me more than I used to. I used to kind of make music for other people and for content purposes. But now I'm making stuff that I want to listen to, which is just a nicer experience overall for me.
Yeah, it's really wholesome. It's really wholesome to hear that you're like so incredibly content with the stuff that you make. It's very nice to see. Because like especially I feel like in today's day and time, people don't like to settle. I don't know. It might be just me. Mm. But it's very like there's this thing where people are trying to be very, very perfect with everything and are never satisfied and never settle. And I feel like it's really nice. It makes me just like so happy to hear that,
I have a big problem with people that are like that because I knew so many of them in university.
Yeah.
Like people who would they'd make a song and then they just sit on it for months and months and months, and they'd like change little bits here and there, and I'm like, just get rid of it, like just release it. And they're like, oh no, but if I wait and I do a bit more marketing on it, it's like, no, like it's not gonna be the chances, it doesn't matter how much you perfect this thing, the chances of it being the single that, you know, shoots you up into the stratosphere is so minimal.
Yeah.
Like, it doesn't matter how perfect you make it up to a certain point. Like, just release it. Just get rid of it. Like, throw it out of your basket and start creating something new, because that's the only way you're going to grow. Your growth actually gets stunted by staying on that project, because you're just making tiny little changes rather than creating a whole new, you know, product and thing. So that's always been my issue with like sitting on things for a long time, and I guess that's why I'm not a very good album artist, because I don't like sitting on things for ages.
Yeah.
But I'm trying. I'm definitely trying.
I mean, we are very, very interested to see if you succeed with sitting on stuff, I guess. No, but like I feel very called out right now, because this is something I probably would do.
I'm so sorry.
It's okay. I probably need to be called out, so it's fine. Anyway, just to like maybe come to a little bit more perspective on like how many people you cater your music to right now. You have around 51, I think, thousand. Subscribers on YouTube, is that correct? Am I right?
Just hit 52, I think.
52, amazing.
Yeah.
Now, the first time in my life, I am very glad that I missed something. This is amazing. So how has this kind of life been treating you? Like, do people recognize you a lot? Maybe when you go out, do they text you a whole bunch?
I've never been recognized in a setting that wasn't like a show that I was going to, like the tour that I did recently.
Yeah.
Like that was the first time people had obviously like recognized me and like wanted a picture and things like that, and signed things, which was absolutely mental, might I just say. But no, that's never happened in like a regular setting yet. I think the closest thing was that someone at my mum's work, their brother was a subscriber of mine or something like that.
That's
like,
so cute.
That was the closest thing of like, oh, you work with Connor Quest? Well, that's crazy.
I'm gonna die. That's so amazing. this is beautiful. This is beautiful.
But no, yeah, it's just kind of still a normal experience for me, apart from when I go to things where it's a higher chance of likelihood that people will know who I am.
Yeah, that's fair. And do you maybe, let's say, dread, even though it doesn't have to be so dramatic, but I like to be dramatic. Mm-hmm. Do you dread the time people will start recognizing you in, like, bigger quantities?
I don't dread it, no, because I don't think it's ever going to get to a ridiculous point, just, yeah, like, realistically. Mm-hmm. Like, I think maybe, you know, if it happens, you know, once a week, I could deal with that. Like, it's fine. I guess it gets to the point where you're getting mobbed every time you go out for, like, a Nando's. Like, that's, like,
yeah,
where it just gets a bit, like, a bit tiresome. But I don't think it's ever really going to get to that point, like, realistically. Fair. So I'm not worried about that at all.
Fair enough.
And if I'm going to an event where I know that lots of people are going to know me and I'm probably going to get in some way, if there's a potential of me even getting swamped, like, I'm going into that environment.
Yeah.
I'm ready for it. Like, that's my fault. Like, I have to just, sure, like, put up with what happens there.
Yeah, I love how specific you are about where you would be going. Like, just, like, going to Nando's. This is beautiful. Now everyone will know that they have to follow you,
yeah,
to Nando's. This everything is your fault from now on. You call this upon yourself.
I had a Nando's before one of my tour shows as well.
Oh, really? This is, yeah, that's amazing. That's amazing. Now people will know it as your trademark. You're doomed.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and when it comes to maybe, like, your presence on the internet, when people text you, how do you usually respond to them? Or what do they want from you? Is it advice? Is it just, like, they want to tell you they're great fans? Or...
Yeah, I just don't have the time. It's really... Because I make a good effort to reply, or at least, like, YouTube comments and such.
Yeah.
But when it comes to, like, DMs and personal messages, I mean, I have them off on Twitter. I have them off on Discord. Mm-hmm. People can still message me on Instagram, but I don't recommend it because I won't read it. Like,
yeah, it was I'm just lucky. It just happened because, yeah, I'm lucky.
I have enough people that I'm trying to DM and keep in contact with.
Yeah.
Just for work purposes. Like, I physically do not have the time to reply and have a conversation with everyone that either wants to tell me they're a fan, wants to tell me they use my beats, or wants to tell me to use their beats, wants to, cute, you know, collab,
yeah,
even though they've done absolutely nothing, or just things like that. And there are, like, exceptions I'll make sometimes. Like, if I see a message and it just, like, I read it and it, like, speaks to me or something, I'm,
yeah,
like, okay, yeah, I'll reply to this. So it does happen. Like, I don't like to be a knobhead about it, but it's just, like, if I started replying to everything, I would die.
Yeah, that's fair. I don't want you to die, so... People,
yes,
maybe, like, try to refrain, okay, please. We like our Connor Quest,
like,
alive.
Like, there's plenty of ways to reach me that's not my DMs. Like, if I stream, which I,
yeah,
know I haven't done for a while, but you can come in
little,
my stream and,
yeah,
I'll talk to you there. Like, my if you reply to a tweet I've made, I'll probably see it and like it and things like that. Like, there's plenty of ways to reach me that are more likely for me to reply than an Instagram DM, which I don't look at.
Yeah, that's fair enough. Really, people, I am just somehow, luck is on my side, really. This doesn't happen to normal people. I'm just...
Well, yours was a YouTube comment the first time I spoke to you.
Yeah, that's
which
actually
is somewhere
fair.
I reply.
That's fair. Yeah,
which
that's
is
fair.
Somewhere I
that's
reply.
I actually completely forgot about this, but
yeah,
you have no idea. You have no idea the amount of emotion that you replying just created in my small body.
Oh, bless you.
I think I was somewhere, like, with people, which was like not great to present yourself like that in front of a big group. But I remember, it's fine, but it was just like, I remember that I, like, sent it to everyone. I was just like, oh my goodness, he watched it. I was so stoked. I was so stoked, really. So you can only see how very, very thankful I am right now. And as you said, you do have time, or you do make the time to look and reply to all of basically your YouTube comments. So how do you feel about the comments that people leave? Do you get like a lot of hateful comments? Because I have never really personally seen that issue on your channel, but like, is that something that you notice?
I do get some hateful comments, but I don't know, with me, like, it doesn't bother me at all, and I tend to laugh and I tend to find them funny.
Aww.
Like, just because that's just my personality with them, and that's how I've kind of grown up. I know for some people, like, that it really does affect them, and I completely get that, but for me personally, I've kind of grown, I guess, a thick skin when it comes to it, and I almost just laugh because of the amount of effort they yep. had to put in to, like, say something so mundane and pointless. Because it's just not going to change anything. But they've put so much effort and emotion into it that I'm like, yeah. I almost have to respect it.
Some people really don't have much else to do with their lives.
No,
so.
Exactly.
Yeah,
exactly.
No, but it's amazing. I feel like at this time and point, you are really like a mental health guru. Because you're just you let go. I don't mean this as in like entire life sense, but like when it comes to music and the things you create, you just seem to have a, like a very healthy mindset, and it's really refreshing to see that.
Yeah, I think it's just like I know what has stressed me out and what would stress me out, and I don't want to do it. And when I look at other people who are doing it, I'm like, how is that not stressing you out?
Yeah,
like, because it would just drive me insane. But yeah, hateful comments are not one of the things that drive me insane, yeah. Luckily.
That's fair.
But I don't get a lot anyway, which is very nice, and I'm very grateful for that.
I'm really happy as well. When we talk about, like, the amount of people that listen to your music and that are, like, very, very stoked, speaking from experience, to listen to you, do you have, like, a specific number that you would like to reach when it comes to people that listen to you? Or is this something that you are just leaving to, let's say, destiny?
Oh, God. I mean, I would love to, like, be able to, I guess, do a show somewhere and have it be sold out. Like,
yeah.
with the tour, like, I thought some of the dates were insane, like the amount of people that were there to listen to me, and honestly, I'm definitely at a point that I never thought I would be at anyway, so I'm already really, really happy with, like, the amount of people that do listen to me. Obviously, mm-hmm. I would like it to be more, because, you know, you always want to grow, and it kind of, it does show you that what you're doing is working, and you want people to hear you and listen to what you're making. But I'm currently very happy with where I am, and I guess, like, 100k subs is definitely something that I'm, like, looking towards, and I think that would be where I'm, like, mm-hmm. happy.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, we all want that milli plaque, like, we all want that.
Without a doubt, without a doubt, all of you are going to get it one day. I will personally see to it. I will not die before this happens. So I am making me everyone's problem right now, because I will be around until all of you achieve your dreams.
Amazing.
And, like, apart from talking numbers, what are the things that you want to achieve in your music career?
Oh, wow. Apart from numbers. But numbers are all that matter. I think I just want to be proud of what I make, and I think I currently am, and I've always had, like, ideas for projects and mm-hmm. things like that, and, you know, I'm finally getting around to really solidifying them. Like, I've had an album yeah. idea since, like, midway through university that's kind of chopped and changed as it's going on, and I'm mm-hmm. kind of like I'm kind of in the process of putting that together. It's a very, very personal one, that one is, like, so it's Ooh. Not anything to do with Nerdcore,
okay.
really. And that's kind of been in the works for like, God, like 3 years. So it's kind of I've slowly been piecing that together. And as I've said, I hate sitting on things. So it's been really stressful for me, that one, because I'm just like, oh, I just want to finish it. But then I also need to make sure it's good. So
I can imagine.
Yeah.
I think
I just want to be able to put my ideas into something listenable that I enjoy and that other people enjoy. And I think I'm in a position where I'm able to do that now. And I am glad I've held off on things like that, because mm-hmm. I don't think if I made it 2 years ago, I would have been proud of it. But I know if I make it now, I will be.
That's nice. I love that. To be fair, you are making me very, very excited about this album. I can't wait when it comes around. Is there anything at all that you can share about it?
Well, the one I just mentioned is actually a different album to the one I'm currently in the process of making now. So the one I'm making now and kind of putting a lot of focus into is a nerdcore album.
Okay.
I kind of had the idea for it probably a year ago, and it was only during the last like few months I was like, okay, screw it, I'm just gonna bite the bullet and do it, you know.
Yeah.
Mark's released all his albums, Rustage is releasing his album, I was like, I gotta step up. And so far, like, coming together, like, I'm really enjoying it. I've made, like, two of my best instrumentals I think I've ever made for it.
Ooh,
so
nice.
I'm very excited for that. And just, yeah, I think, I do enjoy albums, and I do enjoy the process of creating an album. But just, like I say, I'm a content creator at heart. I'm a YouTuber at heart more than I'm a musician, I think. And for me, like, sitting on album stuff is very difficult, but I am enjoying the process.
Yeah. To be fair, now that I know that there's two albums, I might pass out like any time now. So if I'm quiet for too long, you know what happened to me.
They're very different. They are like complete double ends of the spectrum, which I think is something I also look for, is I don't ever like to do the same thing. I always do like to try and chop and change and do what's interesting for me, because if I just did the same thing all the time, if I just released like the freestyle I did like yesterday every mm-hmm. single week, I would go insane. Like I have to like put out different things. Like I love making choruses now. I love making kind of heavier rock stuff, and that's mm-hmm. kind of my bag at the moment. And mainly it's because that's what I listen to right now in my spare time. You know, I'm listening to a lot of Bring Me the Horizon, Beartooth, like things like that, and
good shit. Good
just
shit.
things that I like to listen to. I want mm-hmm. to be able to make.
I can actually see how you could be inspired by stuff like this, and I really can't wait to hear it. To like really, if it ever comes around, even if you're sitting on it for 10 years, I really can't wait to hear it.
I hope I am not.
And just one little tiny question that I just have to ask, because mm-hmm. I just have to. How do you feel about your mom being the biggest, best, absolute greatest fan that you've ever had?
Oh, it's fantastic. I'm very, very lucky to have a very supportive family base. You know, just wherever it comes from in my family, like, they've always been very, very supportive of what I've done, if not a little bit pensive of whether it was going to work out as a career. Because, you know, they were the ones I talked to about, you know, I'll give it a year, and if it's not taken off, you know, obviously get a regular job and pay my way in the world.
Sure.
But yeah, they're definitely really happy with where it's gone, and they're really happy that I've kind of managed to do it, and they love to get involved, they love to hear all the, like, stats and things, they love to hear about things that I'm doing, like, they were really excited for the tour. My dad likes to get into all the like business side of things.
Really?
Like,
that's amazing.
It's really great. Like, and yeah, my mom has My mum is slowly becoming more of a solidified name than I am, which I'm not very happy about, but...
a little bit.
People are going to end up liking her more. Do you know, it took me 8 years to get Damble to follow me on Twitter. It took her 8 days. It's absolutely ridiculous.
To be honest, she is a sweetheart. She is a sweetheart. Yes, I am absolutely not surprised. I mean, I've only had a few chances to speak with her through like Instagram or YouTube comments, but she's just like, yeah, I already love her. She's amazing. I'm really happy to hear that. I'm really happy that your family is so supportive of the music you make. And like, when we come to like the background with your family and maybe like where you started, did you always know that music was something that you wanted to do?
No. And like I say, it was only when I got to university that I was like, I really kind of dived into it. It was probably more halfway through college for me that I kind of realized, like, yeah, I want to do music. But before that, I had zero clue what I wanted to do. I always enjoyed music. I always enjoyed listening to it. And I was heavily involved in a lot of musical things, not education-wise or anything like that, but just recreationally. And, yeah, just over that time, I ended up finding... the uni that I ended up going to at like a random fair thing where they were all like presenting their ideas, like a load of different universities were like trying to get you to go there and stuff because they do that. But for the longest time, I wasn't even going to go to uni because I was just like, I don't care about education anymore. Like I was a real shit in college. Like I did not do very well and I skipped a lot of classes and I was a bad student.
Kids, go to school. No, kids, do whatever you want. It's fine.
But yeah, I just didn't really know what I wanted to do at all. And then I kind of found this music university, went to it, and it all just kind of worked out, which was really strange. And it's all kind of spiraled into, if I didn't decide to do that, I wouldn't be here, and I wouldn't be in a lot of different places that I am right now, which is very wild to me.
That's so beautiful. So do you feel like I don't know if you have like a specific thing to call it, do you feel like this is destiny, or do you feel like it's something that you reached yourself?
I don't know. It's always a strange combination of the two for me, because I know how much I've worked and I know how much I've like put into this, and I don't think if I didn't do that I would be here. But then there's so many little random bits of what you could call fate or destiny that do seem to play some kind of part into it, that it just, there's almost too many coincidences a lot of the time that, you know, it does play on your mind a bit sometimes, but it's not something I like to think about, or I think my brain would explode.
That's fair.
But
generally I think I have
work to it, even if I didn't necessarily know that I was working towards it.
Yeah. And do you, when you look at like where you started, did you start like, or let me rephrase, when you started with music, did you start with music with just like some basic songs, some original songs? I need to rephrase this completely differently because I am just like spinning right now. So when you started with music, did you start with making songs that were already inspired by anime and nerdcore in general, or did you start with music that was just like from your life or something specific?
Definitely started with nerdcore. It wasn't anime because I didn't get back into anime until kind of early 2020, late 2019.
Really?
But back in like 2016, I think, was when I really started to dive into music. I was oh, this is embarrassing. I was making Minecraft parodies. And I never released them. I released one, which was a 12 Days of Christmas song, which I called the 12 Days of Minecraft.
That's so sad, and we have never got to see.
And you've never heard it because it's beautiful. Definitely deleted now.
I'm so sad.
And I think I have a really vivid memory of being in the shower and thinking of an entire Minecraft parody to a Katy Perry song.
No.
And I can't remember it for the life of me, but I know that I definitely did that. And that
this
was the
exact
setting.
This is the peak of
setting.
Shower thoughts.
It really is. That was like my first parody writing experience.
Yeah.
And I used to do Smite parodies. Do you know the mm-hmm. game Smite? It's kind of
really.
it's like a third person MOBA, like League of Legends,
okay.
but you,
okay.
you play it in a different perspective.
You're speaking my language now, that's fine.
But now I used to do parodies of that game, and that game didn't really have a kind of parody scene, or it had a very
yeah.
small one, so the things I did do for it back in the day actually, you know, got reasonable traction, and
mm-hmm.
they were bloody awful, but you know, it caught the attention of one of the devs and he retweeted
yeah.
it, and that was like my first like experience of like, whoa, someone's noticed
wow.
me. So yeah, like back, and then I integrated with that, I would do like, I did like an app store rap of where I just rapped about iPhone
wow.
games, and I did a Minesweeper rap, and I was just kind of doing these stupid
yeah.
little things that I was like, I have this idea, I could do that, screw it, let's do it. And then I also, I think when I got to uni, I was like, okay, I'm gonna be a serious artist, like I'm gonna make regular music, and
yeah.
it just didn't work very well, so I've definitely now kind of found the nice mid-ground of
mm-hmm.
including personal stuff in nerdcore things, which I think is a much more comfortable place for me to
yeah.
do it.
And do you, like, when you think back to this young Connor that would do, like, the most stupid shit that came to his mind,
mm-hmm.
Do you have any, like, advice that you would give him if he could go back in time?
I mean, that's still me, kind of. I do kind of say the most stupid shit that comes to my mind.
You said
it,
not me.
I guess I would just... I don't know, because, like, anything that I did back then led me here.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, what advice do I give the person that brought me here?
Yeah.
Like everything he did kind of has made me what I am, so I can't really fault him.
Mm-hmm.
Apart from, I guess, like, break up with her.
Yeah.
that would be my advice.
That's fair. No, but
which is really morbid, I guess, but you know, or not morbid, but like depressing, but and also do better in school. Definitely do better in school, because it'll make your life so much easier.
I mean, that's fair, but to be honest, I go to school and it's I am doing quite well, but I don't feel like it's doing much for me.
I mean, yeah, you probably won't.
Maybe just like do average in school.
Yeah, yeah,
that will be fine.
Just get by. Just
yeah.
get by.
Yeah.
Just get by. Just make your life a bit more simple for yourself.
Yeah,
and,
a little.
Yeah, that's
yeah.
a little.
That's fair. That's fair. I do have to mention that I think you did mention it a little bit, but I do have to mention that you have just recently been on a tour.
Yes.
So it was the Shao Dojo tour. So
mm-hmm.
I would like to hear maybe like your insights. How was it? What do you think about it?
Oh, it was incredible. Like, playing live is something I hadn't done for like 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
Especially I'd never played live to a crowd that was there for me.
Yeah.
Or, you know, there for, you know, us as a collective and me being involved in that.
Yeah.
It was just an amazing experience to like, A, play live to crowds that weren't full of my friends and
mm-hmm.
random pub people, or like club goers, and then also have people like singing choruses back to me, rapping
yeah.
lyrics back to me, having the interaction, the the energy levels, like I say, people coming up and, you know, just chatting to them and hearing them say, you know, really nice things and taking pictures and signing things and buying merch. It was just, it was all the things that you kind of do hope for as an artist.
Yeah, like, I can imagine. I can imagine.
It was just really, really nice to experience that and kind of get a taste of it. Which I definitely want to do more of it now, because it was fantastic. Yeah,
it was very, like, a very excited time for us, exciting time for us as well. especially when we watched the live stream in my Discord server. It was something. I had all the feels, and it was just really fun chatting with the people and being like, oh my goodness, it's Connor. No, it was beautiful, and you probably cannot even imagine the amount of excitement that I had when I was just, like, laying on my bed, chilling, listening to you guys, like, doing your shit, basically, and then I just hear, "Happy birthday, Nina!"
I didn't think we'd forget.
I did. No, but, like, I really want to thank you before all of, like, in front of all of these people, because it was, like, the highlight of my evening, honestly. Oh, bless you. I was dying. We were just, like, vibing with my boyfriend to your guys' music. We were just like, yeah, this is great. And then just, like, happy birthday. And I was like, oh my goodness. and the chat in our server went absolutely crazy. Like, batshit, totally. And I was, oh my goodness, Nina got a specific call out. And I was like, yeah, I did. What you gonna do about it? Acting all cool, but now all of you know that I am being exposed right now. I am in fact a big ball of emotion. Would you want to do this kind of thing again? Meaning, like, do you like the concept of a joint tour with other artists, or would you like to do one that would be like a solo tour for yourself?
I definitely think that the joint experience was great to have, like, for a first time, and, like, I'm so thankful for Shadow for, like, bringing me along and, like, kind of organizing nearly everything, because he did. Like, the amount of work that man put in was absolutely insane. I don't know if a solo tour is on the horizon for me personally.
Yeah.
Just based on numbers and, like, things like that. I don't know how viable that would be for me. It's not something I think. I think I could do a solo show, maybe, if I had enough time to advertise it, if it was in the right setting.
Yeah, sure.
But I would still, even if I did a solo show, I would be like, hey, Travity and Rustage, do you want to come and do some songs on my solo show with me? And so then it would just turn into, it's me with Travity and Rustage, because like, we have so many songs together, we perform so well together, we're just really close friends. Like, it just wouldn't make sense to me to not have them involved at this point.
Of course.
Unless it was like a situation where neither of them could show up. Like, okay, yeah, then I'll just do it by myself.
That's fair.
But I would love to do a solo tour myself, just because I would be able to kind of, like, bring people that supported me back in the day on with me. Like, I have friends from my uni who are, you know, just kind of doing their thing now, and I would love to, like, be able to give them some kind of platform or give them a good show and give kind of back to them, because they would always, like, get me gigs and, you know, put me on as support for them. And there were a lot of guys I did an album with back in the day, which was like we all got into a house together, like 17 of us, and we made a full album in 3 days.
That sounds pretty badass, though.
It was a fucking nightmare, but it was amazing at the same time. Like, we were all knackered, and just so out of it by the end.
Probably required a lot of coffee.
It did. But yeah, like, those guys, like, I love them all so much. So I would love to be able to, like, bring them along to certain things like that.
Shout out to those people.
I think for me, the thing that would be like my solo tour would just be a UK trio tour. Like mm-hmm. I would consider that as my solo kind of stuff, because I feel like the UK trio is all three of us. Like we are all equal standing on it.
Yeah.
And so if I did a tour with just those two guys, like I would be perfectly satisfied with that.
Well, since you already mentioned them, I would like to maybe ask you a little bit about like your background with the UK trio, mm-hmm. Because it's like a big thing. I have already asked this both Rustage and Chwabery in like either their Discord servers or during like a Twitch live stream. So
yeah,
I would like to hear this like from your perspective. Like, how did you guys meet? How did this become like the greatest poly bromance in history?
It just very naturally, honestly. Like it. So the thing with me and Rustage is we actually went to the same uni.
No way. So
yeah, we were in the same wow. kind of vicinity and zone for like a whole 2 years, and yeah. we never knew because we hadn't met each other until no. he left. So, and then I just kind of realized that he had gone there, and I was like, oh, what? Like, we just yeah, never met that's in a fair that reaction. Time. Yeah, we never met in that time. Me and Schwabity, he was obviously friends with Rustage from, you know, way back in the day.
Yeah.
So that's like a completely different tale and story. But mm-hmm. we kind of just slowly got to know each other through kind of both doing more nerdcore stuff and yeah. also being friends then with Rustage, because I was on a couple of Rustage songs after he heard me do things. And then
mm-hmm.
We spoke a bit. He invited me into his Discord. I then started speaking to a load of different people as well.
Yeah.
And it's basically all through Rustage that I like know like half the people that I do now, because he's such like a, he'll bring you into his kind of like circle and just like mesh you in so well
yeah.
and like give you that opportunity to talk to people. And he's such like a just a hub of people like in himself. Like he just mm-hmm. I don't know, he just has a really good way of bringing someone in and making them feel at home, and everyone else in that kind of circle also makes you feel at home.
To be fair, he does seem that way really.
Mm. It's a really like strange and like going back to the whole like fate and destiny thing, like some of it just feels like so weird sometimes.
Yeah,
like we both went to the same uni. If we hadn't done that, we might have not had like a first conversation or a first interaction. Like I wasn't even going to go to that uni for so long, like, and then I ended, and now looking at where I am right now, it's just all so weird to like think about all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, that's actually amazing.
Yeah, but me and Shrubity, we kind of slowly got to know each other because he was still working as a teacher for a good amount of time, so mm-hmm. we never really got like a good chance to like talk, because I was always up really late and he had to go to bed early.
Yeah.
And then kind of slowly, as I was getting better at music and he was getting better at music, we just decided to make an album together. Before we were even kind of friends, I'd say we were just kind of like work associates that knew mm-hmm. each other, you know, reasonably well. And it was through the process of making that we ended up becoming a lot better friends. And then from there, it just kind of like spiraled into, okay, well, now we all know each other really well. Let's make some tracks together. And we did. And then we got like a little group chat together, and yeah, it all just kind of like spiraled really naturally into yeah. like, yeah, we all can put up with each other's bullshit. So,
and that's how you know they're good friends, when
yeah,
they put up with your bullshit.
Yeah, and we can just we just kind of gel together really well, and I think we make good music together. I think we
you do
have
yeah,
fun
you
together.
Do. I confirm.
I think we have fun together, like whether it's just me and Daniel, whether it's just me and Mark, or the three of us, or obviously when it's just Mark and Daniel, like we all just get on really
yeah.
well, which is nice.
This warms my heart. This is beautiful. This is just... I love this. Okay, and when it comes to like your experiences with the guys throughout the tour, do you have something like memorable that happened to you guys that was like super fun or maybe like super weird that all of you will remember?
Just anything that Daniel did. Like anything. He's just a little gremlin. He's just a small little goblin boy, and just like everything he did on stage was just ridiculous and hilarious. And he's a very comedic character, and I think he flourishes on stage without realizing that he does, because he's very naturally awkwardly funny, and just the things he says and does like on the fly are just... He just gets the crowd on his side, like, and I think that's something you need to do when you're his type of character in a rap setting. And he just has a way of doing that, and I think it's great. There were a couple of moments, like, I think standing outside when the tour had ended, and we were all kind of like getting our last like meal together. Me, Shaldo, T-Russ, the boys, Olaf. We were all just kind of standing outside of like a noodle bar eating ice cream and just kind of chatting with each other. And that was just like a really nice, wholesome moment.
Yeah, that sounds so cute. That sounds like from like an actual fan fiction on like AO3 or AO3 or something.
And also the final performance in Manchester again, like when we were all on stage doing an Inosuke rhythm with Shadow, that was definitely a good peak, because the Manchester crowd was amazing.
They were proper into it. Was it like at all emotional for you?
No, I don't think it was emotional for me until I got home. And it was like properly over. Then it was like, oh, okay, like, yeah, that was really fun. Like, I want to do it again. Like,
fair.
But no, there wasn't any, like, big emotions, I guess, apart from just, like, excitement and adrenaline and things like that. Like,
it's beautiful. I still kind of can't get over the fact that you just called Rustage a little goblin boy.
He is. It's true. Anyone who knows him would agree with me.
Well, to be fair, I do not know him personally, but I do agree with you.
You don't have to know him personally at all to know he's a little goblin boy.
that's hilarious. I'm gonna die. Okay, wait, I have to calm down. Okay. So, and apart from like the experiences themselves from the tour, you said that it was very exciting for you to hear like the crowd singing with you. So I'm very interested in like what were the songs that were fan favorites that were like really getting some commotion.
I think people really liked In Half. Honestly, I think people it's one that you can sing along to, and it's one over time of doing the tour I got more comfortable with doing. And I feel like it was just a very nice live song. The Toto song did really well. I think people enjoyed shouting dump truck.
People are very simple, so I can imagine. Yeah. I certainly enjoyed it. I was sitting behind my table and I enjoyed shouting dump truck at this entire house very much. So,
and I think people enjoyed Bound by Blood as well. That was one that always did pretty well for us. And we realized that it wasn't the last song of our set normally, but we realized that people were enjoying it so much that we made it the last song.
Oh, okay.
Like about like three shows in, we were like, okay, yeah, Bound by Blood is the one that like goes off. So.
Yeah, to be fair, it's very fitting. It's very fitting somehow, even though... might not be like completely literal, but it seems very fitting to you guys. So
it is.
And like when we start talking about all the people that you got to know, whether it was like on the tour or like thanks to Rustage or Schwabity, who currently in the community is like an inspiration for you? Who like who helps you get better?
Oh, Stargirl.
Aww, 100%. We love Stargirl. We do, stan her.
We do. Stargirl is like, she is definitely one of the reasons I'm doing what I am today, purely just based on the fact that like, if it wasn't for her, my Gaara song wouldn't have come out.
Yeah.
So I probably wouldn't have started singing. So half my catalog wouldn't be here. She's always been like super honest with mm-hmm. things and like just always gives like really good, like in-depth advice about certain things because
yeah.
even though she doesn't necessarily have any like technical knowledge of mm-hmm. music, like sometimes that's good because she can just say, I don't like this.
Yeah.
And like, if she doesn't, then why should anyone else? Like, and you know, it's all well and good having that technical knowledge of things and saying, oh yeah, you weren't in the, you were just off key for this for a little part, or you know, mm-hmm. this snare doesn't hit right. But she'll give you advice that's like, this doesn't feel right, and
yeah.
this part overpowers this, and like, it's not technical, but you know what she means. Because it's what a fan is going to hear. It's what a regular person is going to hear. And I think it's such an important bit of advice to have and such an important, like, information hub for you to, like, know and to have that, like, more than just, like, the technical side. Because you lose the heart of things if you just, like, focus too much in the technical
yeah,
side
definitely.
And stuff. And then also just on a personal level, like, Stargirl's helped me through many, many things, just being the little sweetheart that she is. Mm. So yeah, and also like, just generally an inspirational person
yeah.
as well.
I feel like Stargirl is like a very, very big presence in the community.
Oh
so
yeah, massively.
Do you guys also have like a story of how you guys met or how you guys got to know each other?
Yeah, we do. So
the laughter doesn't bring any good. I already know this.
So she messaged me. I think we'd spoke like a couple of times on Discord, just through the kind of Rustage like group
mm-hmm.
that we were all kind of like talking at the time.
Yeah.
And I kind of like dove in, and she was very welcoming as she is to everyone.
Yeah.
And she messaged me about the Class 1A cipher back in the day,
mm-hmm.
saying, oh, hey, can I, do you have the list of everyone that's on the Class 1A cipher? And I did, but at the time I was like, oh, you know, I don't know if Rustage would want me to, like, you know, give away kind of, like, information, just,
yeah.
like, you know, about the cipher. And so I said that, and then she went, dude, I'm on it. And I was like, oh god, oh no, I feel like such a prick.
That hurt.
Yeah, it hurt a lot. And in my defense, she wasn't going to be on it, but then she
yeah.
was.
Yeah,
so when I knew about it, she wasn't, and then she was afterwards. So that's
she
my defense to that.
Yeah, that's fair. A wild Stargirl
but,
appeared. It's okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I actually remember the yeah. cipher, and I really, really liked her performance on it, so...
Yeah.
Yeah, that's actually so wholesome. I loved it.
Yeah, like that was our first, like, proper interaction. And then from there, it was bullying and love and happiness and
yeah.
sadness and... murder.
Well, okay. Well, let's maybe not talk about murder. I mean, anyway. And like, when it comes to other things, either in the community or like in your life, is there anything that inspires you daily apart from like stupid shit? even stupid shit, I want to hear it all, but like something that inspires you when making your songs, because I remember that when you actually made your rival song, it actually made like a big wave of people being like, is it based on Connor? Is this like is it based on his life? I remember like everyone in the comments being super like confused. So is it normal for you to base like stuff off of your life?
It's very normal for me now, yeah. I think the Rivals song was the first time I really just went hard on that aspect. It wasn't the first time I've done that, for sure. I've kind of slipped little pieces here and there. My Mirio song is one. That song is just not about Mirio in the slightest, but no one ever really noticed because I think it's quite well integrated with his story.
Definitely.
The Rivals one was a bit more like on the nose because I think it wasn't the take on Rivals that people expected. So when they then heard that, it kind of like, it was like a little bit of whiplash and like, oh, like,
yeah, what, definitely. You know.
Whereas Mirio, despite it just being about me, it kind of was about Mirio as well. The King song as well. All my like kind of sadder shit is like more so about me than it is the actual characters. But no, I do tend to kind of put more into of myself into this music that I'm making now. Even when it comes to things like a Shikamaru rap, like it's just a big braggy fucking thing, but I could easily have not called it a Shikamaru rap, honestly. Like,
of course.
Everything in it kind of does relate somewhat to me as well. The Toto rap is just about women. Like,
love it when women. Am I right?
I love it when we're with women. Like,
just women. Yeah, that's pretty
there you go,
fair.
There you go. Honestly.
Wait, I wanted to ask you something, but I forgot.
Oh no.
It was just like a follow-up question, but I forgot, but it's fine. It's okay. If I remember, I will ask. It's okay. Yeah, but like, oh yeah, I already know. So, is it maybe in a way for you like a healthy way to put emotion out of yourself? Because I feel like even when it comes to like braggadocious songs, let's say, I feel like it's very nice to be able to do it and be like, yeah, I can relate to this song, like it can actually help with like your self-esteem or something.
Yeah, no, definitely. And like like you say, even in the braggadocious songs, like I sometimes try and do slip a little few things in there.
Yeah.
Like with my most recent release, I have a whole section in it where I'm basically talking about me talking with death and like the fact that I, you know, I was like incredibly stressed out and like didn't want to be here anymore. But then I just kind of like, I almost turned it into kind of like a little bit of a comedic thing because I do like to like take the piss out of myself a lot and kind of have that like self-deprecating humor. And I think it worked really well for that. But no, yeah, definitely like putting that emotion into my tracks is definitely something that helps me and has helped me. And it was always something I was awful at and wanted to be better at. I could never get that right level of emotion and put it into my songs, or at least I didn't feel like I could. And, you know, now people tell me that I can, and, you know, and I have, and it's, you know, I don't necessarily feel like I'm quite there with it yet, but people have said like I can, so I guess I'll take their word for it.
Yeah, you definitely can. You definitely can. And to be honest, I feel like it is even, I don't want to say preferred, because I feel like people enjoy most of the things you make, but I feel like it's encouraged. Yeah, it's pretty encouraged. And it's even very encouraging for me as a person, since I feel like a lot of people, especially on social media, don't really open up about like their mental health and stuff. So I feel like it's very nice to see even people that live by creating, basically, can share this kind of thing and be united with the people that listen to them. That's really inspiring to me as well.
Yeah, I've always tried to be quite just open about it, whether it's like being honest or making kind of a little bit of a joke about it. Like, I feel like that can sometimes make it more comfortable to hear. Like, even if it is serious, like having it in that kind of like a little bit more of a comedic tone just makes it more listenable.
Yeah, that's fair. That makes sense. That's fine. And maybe if I can dab a little bit more into back like into the entire like community that we or well you and me trying to break into it, I guess, are in. What is it that you like the most about being a part of the nerdcore community?
I think it's just the fact that it does feel like a community. Like, it just really feels like we all kind of do, in some way, have each other's backs. We all want to see each other flourish. We all enjoy when someone makes something great, and we all love to see it, and we love to see everyone around us succeed. I feel like there's healthy competition within our community, whereas
Totally.
other communities that I see and have been a part of, there's this real sense of combativeness between people, and people wanting to outdo each other for the wrong reasons. And you just don't get that an awful lot within at least our branch of this, like, kind of part of the community. It definitely exists in nerdcore. There's definitely some darker areas that we don't like to talk about, but
We all know them, but we don't talk about them.
exactly. And we kind of, and sometimes people don't know them, but I do. but we won't get into
Yeah,
that.
let's not. Let's not.
But yeah, I think our specific branch and kind of the circle that we found ourselves in, the people that I interact with now, personally, I like to keep them as good people. I think it's important to almost, I don't want to say invest because it makes them sound like objects, but like, invest in people that are gonna make you better, and
Yeah,
like
of course.
invest your time and your energy in people that are gonna make you better, and also people that appreciate what you do for them as well. And I think that's what our whole community is kind of based off.
That's so nice. I love this. But it's really true. Even for someone who is just like, I want to say a quiet spectator, but I'm not really quiet, so just like a spectator. It's really beautiful to see, like, when Rustage hit 1 million subscribers on YouTube, and you guys made the song to celebrate it, it was incredibly, incredibly heartwarming. Like, it doesn't even seem like a community at this point. It seems like a family.
Yeah, it's it, and I think we are just all quite close friends. We are just kind of like a big friendship group that you would get in like a fucking, university. Like, it's just that's kind of how it feels. Like, a lot of them, and even though we do try and keep, certain things professional, and actually try and work together and things like that, we are friends at the end of the day, like most of us at least. So
I love
we
that.
like to do nice things for each other.
Yeah, that's understandable. Great, so I have prepared a little game of who's most likely to for you and basically for everyone that will be interested in, well, making an interview with me. I hope someone will arise to this opportunity. Wink, wink. And it will be around like a short, 10 short questions. That basically I want you to answer with just like the first thing that comes to mind. I'm going to open it up because for some reason I closed it. It's basically I will start a little slower and we will get like progressively a little bit more faster. The pace will get a little bit faster so that you have even less time to think about it.
Oh,
So
God.
no, but I did it with love. It's fine. It will be okay, hopefully. I promise. So are you ready for this?
Yes, I'm fully prepared.
Okay, great. So, who's most likely to finish a song a day before it's supposed to be dropped?
Me. Easy. I've done that so many times.
Oh my goodness, what if the answer to all of these questions is
It's
me?
just me every time.
At least you're special. At least you're special.
Yeah.
Anyway, who's most likely to forget that they actually have a song to make?
Oh, Daniel Rustage. Absolutely.
Fair. Who's most likely to be voted to have the most powerful big dick energy?
Ty Wilde.
Okay. Who's most likely to have everything prepared months before?
Mark Schwabity.
Who's most likely to have the most hitting innuendo or just gross bars?
Nem or Game Boy Jones.
Most likely to get punched in the face sooner or later now?
Breton Boy.
So most likely most likely to be everyone's sweetheart?
Stargo.
Most likely to make it mainstream?
Fable.
Most likely to make every Twitter girl their waifu?
There's so many. how do I pick one? I think that's going to be Breton as well.
And lastly, who's most likely to keep the community together?
Shravity. Easy.
Lovely. Thank you. Thank you. This was actually much easier than I expected it to be. So
yeah, I was just firing them out there.
Yeah, it was. But this is how I intended for it to be. You did really great. Yeah. I'm really happy.
Thank you. I'm glad.
No problem. So, there are some more things that I would just like to get out of the way before we're done. So, I just maybe want to ask one last question, and that is, how would you encourage people that are maybe just trying to break into the community right now, or maybe are just hesitant to come forward and just try new things?
It's a difficult one, because you look at what people are making and you kind of feel like you might have to be on the same level. But you don't, because I wasn't on the same level of the people that I looked up to back when I was starting out, but I did it, and at the time I thought it was great, and I was happy with what I was making, and I was putting it out.
Yeah.
And I think that's just what you have to do. You have to be happy with what you're making, because I saw this literally the other day. Was someone released something and then they instantly regretted the fact that they released it, and it was like, well, don't release it. Even though I can look back at some of my old things and say, oh yeah, that's not very good, at the time I thought it was hot shit. At the time I was so happy with it, because I was yeah, this is my best shit I've done. If you don't think it's the best shit you've done, you've got to have that confidence in yourself.
Yeah.
You've got to have that confidence in yourself. Even if it's not the best shit in the world, if it's the best shit you've done, that's enough. Release it, get better from it, improve. Don't release something that you think... I don't want to say don't release something that you think could be better, because that then completely negates the thing I said earlier about not sitting on things.
Yeah.
But there is little levels of it and nuances that's going to be different for everyone. If I was worried about being, terrible, then I never would have released half of my catalog. It's just a thing of just do things and accept what comes with them. Even if people don't like it, some people aren't going to like it, but some people are. And you're just going to get better the more you do it. And the more you focus on actually getting better as well, and not just putting out content.
Yeah. Well, everyone has heard it now from the man. I am very, very thankful.
I'm awful at giving advice. Don't be thankful. I'm terrible at it.
No, I think this was actually pretty solid. If you're bad at giving advice, I would like to hear something that you think is good advice, because this was actually really, really helpful, at least for me.
Okay.
Well, thank you so much for talking to me today.
You're welcome. Thank you for having me on.
Well, anytime. Absolutely anytime. If you ever feel like talking to me again, I will be here. I'm here all day. No, it was absolutely lovely. And I am honestly so happy that not only me, but everyone else was able to find a little something more about you. So there you have it, everyone. It seems like we successfully survived the first interview that was ever meant to happen here. I've been Nina.
I've been Connor Quest.
And you, as always, have been absolutely lovely. And
Thank you. This is the bar now. Everyone has to be better than me.
You've heard it. You have he's talking to you. You have to be better than him. I'm expecting
I challenge
better.
All of you to come on Nina's podcast and be a better guest than I was.